You're in the whole 6010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, as always, hanging out with you. And now we are officially on to week two. And Matthew, yeah. It's only week two. And Stefania is already on vacation. She's no longer at the Chateau de Cone. She has relocated, and she is joining us from a new location.
Wait, what?
Closer to you now. Can you feel it?
Whoa.
Oh, what? My gosh. Stefania, tell us more about these new digs.
Those look a lot like Kyle's old digs. Did you break into the bunker and kick Kyle out?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Ooh.
Okay.
But
Stefania,
I do have this lovely, with the fantasy focus all around me.
I was going to say, when Kyle was in the bunker, it was like just white walls. There was absolutely no decor whatsoever. Stefania's in there. They've got eight candles. You just couldn't see them on the camera. What's the scent of the day? Lavender?
Something like that. Maybe gardenia? Maybe
gardenia? I'm not even sure what that means, but it sounds delightful. Which means, if Stefania's in the bunker, Kyle is... Is Kyle still part of the show?
Kyle, maybe.
Kyle!
In the closet.
Oh,
he's
no
here. He literally we just can't hear him because his mic somehow is not working.
It never is. Here's a question. Mm. Do you think the mic isn't working just because of, you know, technical difficulties? We work at this, you know, rickety kind of little up and coming
mom and pop operation.
Mom and pop operation. Yeah. You know, one of these days we'll get to work at a big place with a budget. But or is it just, you know, some tech guy back there, you know, hey, Kyle, take the hint.
I feel like Kyle's way more popular than you give him credit for.
Is he?
Kyle's like one of the most well-liked people you'll meet at ESPN.
Oh, well, you're talking internally at ESPN. Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. That I agree with. Okay. I thought you meant like,
does he not have external cachet? I think
the audience likes him a lot, too. So, like, he doesn't have a ton of external cachet, Phil.
To be clear. To be clear, I think the audience has some sort of, like, the amount you hear us on the show is inversely related to how much you like us, right?
So I'm
like,
last.
You and I are pulling up the rear there, bud. Any event.
At the bottom. Anyway, good to have Stefania in-house. Good to have Thirsty Kyle in-house. Always good to have Secret Squirrel in-house. You, my friend, are my tag team partner, and we've got lots and lots of stuff to get to. Tons of injuries. That Stefania is here and comfortable in the bunker because we're going to keep her busy. Obviously, waivers are up. Your waiver wire column is up on ESPN.com right now. Of course, I'm a company man.
Lisa, I hit it. I hit it. I swear I hit it.
Okay, here we go.
Close enough.
All right. There you go. Anyway, and I'm wearing a putting on the board T-shirt.
Put it on the board.
There you go. Absolutely, we got we're here. We're company men.
Shout out Cisco Brewery. All right, so let's get right into it. From bad to worse, maybe like embarrassing to worse. The Jets now have an injury to their highest paid offensive player. At least that's Le'Veon Bell. Stefania Bell, cousin. I didn't think about that. You should have great inside information here, Stefania.
Yeah, I don't want to give up, you know, all my sources, even if they are my relatives.
Okay.
But look, if you saw Le'Veon, clearly he's got to be disappointed by this. I think I mentioned yesterday that when there was a question about whether he was dinged up in the preseason, he tweeted out, "Nothing wrong with my hamstrings." Well, there is now. And if you saw the play, he got torqued really hard. It didn't look good when it happened. Went in, got his leg wrapped during halftime, came out, played a few snaps. And Adam Gase talked about being disappointed that he let him on the field. It now sounds like they will be without him for potentially a couple of weeks. And you know my heart, Frank Gore, expected to start this weekend.
Yeah, Matthew, he was a late addition to the waiver wire column, was Frank Gore. And I did so almost begrudgingly, not because I don't love Frank Gore. He is a legend. I think he one day has a very compelling case to go into the Hall of Fame. But as we discussed yesterday on the show, like, you face the 49ers this week. If Frank Gore gets 15 carries, what's best case scenario? 64 yards, something like that?
64 yards, and you hope he falls into the end zone.
Right. But can you consistently count on that in an offense that got nothing going last week?
You, Stefania, and myself are in a 16-team league. Frank Gore will be picked up in that league this week. But other than something like that, a super deep league, And there's a lot of actually viable running back candidates this week. I don't know that you're necessarily picking up Frank Gore. The only thing I might add here is I do think it'll be interesting to see. So Josh Adams, who had kind of a cup of coffee with the Eagles as a fantasy relevant guy, got the goal line carrying and converted late in that Jets Bills game. You'd expect to see him some as well. I think you'll see a little bit of him. I mean, I just can't imagine Frank Gore getting. I mean, listen. Anytime you say I can't believe Frank Gore, then, you know, he goes out and does it. Like, right. Yeah. Never bet against Frank Gore. Having said that, my expectation here is that you would see some sort of split. I just don't think Frank Gore gets the entire workload here.
I hope you're right.
For the Jets. Be interesting to see. There is, again, for super deep leagues, LaMichael Perine, their fourth round pick, who's been banged up right now, might be an interesting stash because, again, if this season doesn't go the way they want it to and the Jets start out 1-3, 2-4, something like that, could you see him? Could Le'Veon Bell be on the move to a contender? It just hasn't worked out. The one thing I will take exception to that Stefania said, where she said, you know, Le'Veon Bell tweeted out that his hamstring was fine in the preseason. I believe there is no greater source of disinformation in America than Le'Veon Bell's Twitter account.
Yeah,
many years of... remember when he tweeted that he was going to be there for the start of the season?
How could
Steelers?
I forget? Man,
and he was coming back week 7, and stop it, Le'Veon Bell. Don't listen to Le'Veon Bell on Twitter.
More injury news from the weekend, and we knew this was coming, but it was confirmed yesterday. Stefania, what is the latest on Marlon Mack?
Done for the year now that they've confirmed that he did, in fact, tear his Achilles. And as I mentioned yesterday, they know this is one of those injuries. They know based on the clinical exam and talking to the athlete about either what he felt or what he heard, because there's often a loud noise associated with it. They know right away, but they get the imaging so that they can detail the injury and make sure how the tissue looks in the surrounding area. The good news is that they do less invasive procedures to repair these now. Used to be thought that this could potentially be a career-threatening injury, but you're seeing guys come back from this and being able to produce at their pre-injury level nowadays. So that's the silver lining, I suppose, for Marlon Mack. We heard that they brought Lamar Miller in for a workout with the Colts. I would just point out Lamar Miller still recovering from an ACL injury. While he looks to be in good shape, he wasn't considered really game ready when he was at New England. He probably would only be able to handle a low volume of work, whether he ends up there or somewhere else, until he gets worked back into football shape.
All right, Stefania, we'll come back to you in just a second. And we're going to come back to Nyheim Hines in a little while during the waiver wire section. I just feel bad for Marlon Mack. I feel too. He's in a contract year, a player that now obviously has a long road to recovery ahead of him and probably will be looking for work while he is still recovering from this injury.
1,000%, right? I mean, the writing was sort of on the wall when the Colts used an early round pick on Jonathan Taylor. Marlon Mack entering a free agent year was sort of like, all right, Marlon, this is going to be your prove it year, but clearly Taylor's going to be the future in Indy. You're basically auditioning for your job next year on another NFL team, and now unfortunately he doesn't get that opportunity because of the injury. You hate to see it because Marlon Mack's a guy we like. We like Marlon Mack. He's performed well. He just has a trouble staying on the field, so best wishes to Marlon Mack in his recovery, but it will be the Jonathan Taylor Nyheim Hines show in Indy. We'll get into Hines, as you mentioned, later on in the show.
Two stars, and we're talking about like superstars in the world of fantasy football and the real world. Michael Thomas and George Kittle banged up on Sunday. Stefania, we have a bit more information on each of them from yesterday's updates.
Yeah, we've heard that Michael Thomas has a sprained ankle. If you saw the play, he did get his foot rotated outward, kind of rolled up on by Alvin Kamara. That's sort of the classic mechanism for a high ankle sprain, although that hasn't been confirmed, certainly by anyone in the Saints organization. Michael Thomas wouldn't even let anybody look at his ankle afterward, so we really don't have any detail on it. Stay tuned to see if he's even able to practice or if he ends up in a walking boot. And George Kittle hyperextended the same knee that he hyperextended last year, his left one. Luckily, his foot was not planted. They're calling it a sprain, but they're waiting out the week, they say, to see if he plays when they head to the Meadowlands. They've got a couple games coming up there. I would note those games are on turf. George Kittle struggled when he tried to play through it last year. He always wants to play, but they may want to be really cautious with him because their pass-catching group is thin to begin with, and they need him healthy as the season moves along.
Stefania, I hope you're okay. The 49ers, 0-1, and now that George Kittle moved, this is not fair to you. We'll have more information on this throughout the week. I want to note that last night during Monday, actually, it was halftime of the first Monday Night Football game, Adam Schefter did note that Michael Thomas will go into week 2, and no surprise here. Listen, it's questionable. It's a Monday night game, so he has one extra day to try to fight through this. I always just wonder, is a team, you have to get a global view for the Saints, right? Like, that would be my question is, are they going to say, hey, as much as you might want to play in week 2, We need you for weeks 12 through potentially 20, right? We are less concerned about week two than we are the critical weeks where we are trying to compete for a Super Bowl.
Exactly right. So they're 1-0, all right? So they're 1-0, and they're home.
Only team in the division.
They're the home 1-0. Team, right? And they're the home team to the Raiders.
No,
right?
Away.
They're playing the
playing
other,
in Vegas. Every NFL team started.
Got it.
Two games, one on the home, one on the
road. You're right. It's the Monday night game, which is why it's because the Vegas debut. So you don't know what's going to happen. So you wonder if the Saints are like, you know what? It's the Raiders. We think we'll be okay without you, Michael Thomas. And for fantasy managers, it's the Monday night game. And right. So you may not have clarification Sunday at 1 o'clock when you have to make a decision. So this is absolutely a concern. And on the Saints, that if Michael Thomas were to miss this game field, I don't feel like, yes, do you expect an increased target share for Emmanuel Sanders? But based on what we saw, would you feel confident in starting him? I wouldn't.
Probably not. I just think it means more good things for Alvin Kamara, some Jared Cook,
and yes.
You know what? This Raiders defense probably can be had, so it wouldn't surprise me if somebody random, right? Like Taysom Hill has a touchdown reception bonkers, because the Saints have a great offense, and they do some, but it also has some unusual outcomes.
The Panthers put 30 on the Raiders. The Panthers with a brand new offense, and a lot of new pieces in there, right? Robbie Anderson, etc., put 30 on the Raiders. So we expect the Saints to be able to move the ball here, and obviously their defense a lot better than Carolina. So I don't think the Raiders have the same success that they did against the Saints that they did against Carolina.
One more injury update. It might have a little bit less fantasy relevance, although he did play well in week one. That's David Njoku, Stefania. Browns play on Thursday night. Will their athletic tight end be available?
He will not. David Njoku going on injured reserve. Injured reserve actually works in their favor because he suffered a sprained MCL. That ligament on the inside of the knee that contributes to stability and power. Typically, if it's a mild sprain, you're looking at a handful of weeks, somewhere in the 2 to 4 week range. So with the 3 week option of injured reserve, made sense that they put him there. It gives them some clarity. We're not going to have him. It gives fantasy players some clarity. He's not going to be available for the next 3 weeks. Just one other guy I want to mention, DeVante Parker. The Dolphins didn't play because of the hamstring issue, or ended up injuring the hamstring. And I expect that you could be without him this week. Brian Flores said he's just going to focus on rehab for the first couple days, and then they're going to talk about where he is.
Okay, the Dolphins host the Bills in week two, so we'll see whether or not they have DeVante Parker, but it's a bad matchup, but if he's hurt, you might want to fade that direction. Before we move ahead to Monday Night Football games, not game, because we had two games last night, which was awesome, we have a quick and important announcement. While we were really excited to hit the road for our fifth straight year of live shows, we want everyone to stay safe, and so we're coming directly to your living room. We'll have our first ever virtual live podcast event next Tuesday, September 22nd at 6 p.m. Eastern, and would love for you to join us. Submit questions when you register for a chance to participate in our Q&A and hang out with us from the comfort of your own home. We can't wait. Registration is free, which is awesome, but space is limited. So go to bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball, all lowercase, today. That's bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball. Football. Again, all lowercase. To snag a seat and to have fun, come hang out with us. It's 06010 live show, just done virtually. We can't wait. That's next Tuesday, September 22nd.
Although it would be cool if we could actually go to someone's living room.
That would be cool.
Normally we go to cities, we do it in bars and that kind of stuff. It would just be cool if that would be fun if we just did that. We did that once way back in the day, back in the me and Nate and Pod Vader days. We literally went to somebody's basement.
The good old days.
We did a show. Wow. We did a show from somebody's basement. Yeah. They had a draft. I forget exactly how we got there, but
I haven't been to a living room other than my own
car
since March. I would love to be in someone else's living room right now.
Yeah.
It's isolation.
I feel bad for you. I would personally like to invite you to Stefania Bell's living room.
Okay.
Yes. So at the Chateau de Cone, it is massive. You will be still socially distant. Absolutely. So I'm just throwing that out there for you. I know Stefania I know Stefania would do that if, you know, but she was a little wrapped up in her own self. But I just want to be polite here and invite you. You know, you want to go to somebody's house. So Stefania's house is very welcoming.
You know, Thursday Matthew, forget what they say about you. You are always so thoughtful of others.
Oh. There you go. Thank you, Starfire.
Look at how nice we're all being right now.
Speaking of being thoughtful of others, did you guys know that right now
Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? For Matthew to stop talking about late-round tight end flyers that should only be drafted in 18-team, three tight end leagues? Because in week one, he hit on Logan Thomas. So buckle up, everyone, because Matthew's got his choo-choo hat on now, and that's the train we're riding. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com for more.
From the moment they're born, you do everything to keep your kids safe. But who's looking out for you as you look out for them? The Volvo XC90 SUV with advanced safety technology helps look after you. From the standard blind spot information system that watches your sides and can steer you away from merging traffic to standard cross-traffic alert with auto brake that watches your back and can automatically apply the brakes for people and oncoming traffic as you reverse. Incredible. It's nice to know that someone is looking out for you. The XC90, for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more. All right, it's time now for some game recaps of Monday Night Football, and we begin with the first game of the night, which was the Giants hosting the Steelers. The Steelers win this game, and although it was a good night for the Steelers, they are now dealing with an injury to their potential star running back in James Conner. Stefania, just 6 carries for 9 yards, and then not such great news for James Conner.
This one makes me really sad. I mean, all injuries do, of course, but James Conner really had a mission this year to try and prove that he could stay healthy and stay on the field. So it had to be disappointing that after he injured his ankle, and it wasn't really clear exactly when it happened, but he was just not there. And ultimately, they were talking about it on the broadcast, and we saw Benny Snell and Benny Snell, more Benny Snell, and James Conner on the sideline, you could see him walking up and down. You didn't see him in any sort of protective boot or on crutches. So to the eyeball, that didn't appear to be serious. But maybe the Steelers making a business decision on his behalf and holding him out the rest of the game. Obviously, we'll learn more throughout the week.
All right, Matthew. So you are, I believe, out on James Conner going into this season. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Your concerns were rooted in what you saw last year when he was in and out of the lineup a little bit, was not particularly effective, but we all knew some of that was the quarterback play, right? Teams were not threatened by the pass, but this one stinks. Savon, you just gave the latest injury-wise here, Matthew, and I mean, and for someone like maybe myself, who may have drafted James Conner in a league in like the back end of the third or fourth round, on a panic scale, as I know we don't want to overreact to everything, but what's your panic meter right now if you drafted James Conner with a relatively early pick?
Massive.
Massive.
Massive. One of the reasons why I was fading James Conner,
okay,
and towards the end of preseason, I was sort of like, you know what, I might be looking dumb on this one because everyone's talking about how he's going to be the bell cow, but I remember just talking about the fact that like this guy can't stay healthy. We talked with Stefania about it, how with his running style, you know, shoulder first, that this is something that we thought there'd be a chance for injury, and obviously not his shoulder is what sidelined him yesterday. But since 2019, James Conner has missed 6 games. He's failed to play more than 50% of the snaps in 5 of the 11 games he was active for. This is a guy that feels like, just like Matt Breida, even when he's active, he's always at risk to leave the game early. Just felt like he always does that. He's missed multiple games every year of his NFL career. Look, I would never say an NFL player isn't tough. And an NFL player that's beaten cancer, make no mistake, James Conner is a tough, tough man. So this is not in any way a denigration of the guy. I'm just saying, like, from a fantasy football perspective of which we have to evaluate players, listen, I want to know part of this guy, especially at his ADP, because it is unfortunate, it is awful, but he has not been able to stay healthy throughout his NFL career. And the other thing is, so what's your panic meter? So he's already hurt, right? And then, by the way, he was ineffective when he was out there. 6 carries for 9 yards. Benny Snell looked like the better running back for the time that they were both active, because Benny Snell got early action as well. And so, even if James Conner is healthy, even if you're saying, oh, hey, this guy is active for this week, are you confident in starting him? Are you confident? I mean, like, to me, best case scenario, the literally best case scenario for James Conner in week 2 is that he's active and in a timeshare with Benny Snell. And by the way, Jalen Samuels got a lot of snaps last night as well. Like, it might be a three-headed committee. Like, and for all the talk from Mike Tomlin about, hey, this is going to be, he's going to be our guy, I think whether that was coach speak or even if he meant it at the time, I think that's out the window because you're going to have to keep him healthy. Right? I mean, so I would hope Benny Snell has made your waiver wire column.
Benny Snell is number two on the waiver wire column behind only one other running back that we'll discuss a little bit later. And that's the most disconcerting part for me, is that Benny Snell looked the part last night. 19 carries for 113 yards, did not score, did not have a catch. He had one target. But this is a player that looked really good. He was a fourth-round pick out of Kentucky, a very good player during his time with the Wildcats. And that part is a little bit scary right now for someone like me, who rosters James Conner on a dynasty team that needs a lot of help in a hurry. Stefania, we had someone make it through.
Before we move off of James Conner very quickly and Benny Snell, I just want to take one quick moment here to just, I agree with you that Benny Snell should be high on the waiver wire list. When you watch the fantasy show on ESPN Plus later today, it's out now, our waiver wire show, because of a lot of boring reasons, but we tape our show Monday evening because of like scheduling and studio time and everything like that. So Benny Snell, as a result, is not on that list, but he would be as well. So we can get into that when we get the waiver wires. But I just wanted to sort of address that because of some sitting here talking up Benny Snell, and then people watch that show later and they're like, wait a minute, where's Benny Snell, Barry? You told us you were in on Benny Snell.
Yeah, I think most people are intuitive enough, but always good to remind them as such. Stefania, we did see the return of Big Ben last night. 14 games missed last season, and the concern was not about him returning to action. We knew he was going to play in week one, but it would be, what do you make it through? What were your impressions of what you saw from Ben last night after his first full game back?
It was great. I think he checked all the boxes that people had questions about before the season started. And we would have gotten to see that in preseason games normally, but we had to find out in week one because we haven't seen Ben do anything other than throw in practice. But last night, a little rusty to start, but he was nervous. You know, he jitters. You expect that. But he was able to make all kinds of throws, short, medium, long distance. He even had one that went back across his shoulder to the opposite side of the field. Things that showed you that the strength was there. The endurance was there because he was able to continue the throws throughout the course of the game. And then afterwards, in the post-game interview with Lisa Salters, he talked about how great he felt. So assuming he wakes up and feels great today, that really covers it all. Oh, and also he took a hit and he went to the ground. I mean, these are things that athletes all need to work out in the first game. He's got to feel good about how he did. And fantasy managers have to feel really good that they saw him do all those things without hesitation.
Yeah, it was a great night for Ben Roethlisberger. Just the fact that he was back on the field, something I'm sure he's grateful for at the age of 38. He looked really good, as Stefania laid out there, and he looked really healthy for the most part. Had actually more rushing yards than Saquon Barkley. We'll discuss that in just a little bit.
Yes, but he did.
I think for those that may have entered the season with Ben Roethlisberger as their starter, and we discussed him as a guy that, hey, we're not necessarily moving mountains to draft him early, but he could finish as a top five quarterback, and it should surprise nobody.
He was on the preseason love list. He was on the week one love list, and he pays off, finishing higher than at least his current ADP was in preseason drafts and where his ranks were for week one as well.
But maybe the most important part about Ben Roethlisberger being back was that it meant the return of Juju Smith-Schuster to fantasy stardom. And so 2 years ago, let's just remind people, 2 years ago, Juju Smith-Schuster tied for the NFL lead in receiving touchdowns, playing alongside Antonio Brown, though. And Antonio Brown, for all of his faults off the field, is basically unmatched on the field as a wide receiver.
Correct.
Last year, bad quarterback play. Bad quarterback play. And no Antonio Brown. And we had to ask ourselves, plus injuries.
And yeah, Juju was banged up, too.
We had to ask ourselves, wait, is Juju not a system player, but was this one of those where, like, you know, it really helps when you're drawing the number two cornerback in a given week and Antonio Brown is the distraction for opposing defenses? Last night, it did not seem to be the case, and it wasn't a great defense he was facing by any stretch. Six catches, 69 yards, two touchdowns, nearly 25 fantasy points. But Matthew, number two in terms of target share last night amongst the Steelers wide receivers. I don't want to mitigate the performance too much. I would just say that, like, if I drafted Juju, he probably well exceeded week one expectations.
100%. He was drafted as a wide receiver too in fantasy overall, and I think that's right. I think if you were drafting for the rest of the season today, I think Juju goes somewhere between wide receiver 10 and 15.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe closer to 10 because of the two touchdown performance, and people would have that in mind. But to me, where I would rank him is somewhere between wide receiver 10 and 15. Is where I would rank him. And so without having, you know, thought through it too much there, right? So, but yes, most important to anything else, you know, because touchdowns are fluky. He looked like Juju.
Yeah.
He looked like Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, the Steelers offense look, you're like, okay, right, this looks familiar, right? And you mentioned second in targets. Like, Deontay Johnson got 11 targets, and I know there he was a trendy preseason sleeper, and people had very high hopes for Deontay Johnson, and then like, oh, Juju gets two touchdowns, and James Washington gets the third, and oh, man, and, you know, he also got he had a fumble. Deontay Johnson, man, oh, man, like, there's a couple of guys that I would absolutely make a trade offer for, you know, try to, quote, acquire low, and Deontay Johnson is one of the people at the top of that list. I think he's going to end up with a very good fantasy year.
Totally. I mean, I actually think that most people that didn't watch the game would see the box score and be relatively bullish on it because of 11 targets. I know he lost a fumble, but...
Right, that's my point, yeah.
I would hope...
I'm just saying I think, yeah, people might be... I don't think... If they don't look at the box score, they just watch the game, they might not realize he had 11 targets.
Well, I was going to say that if you watch the game, you should also be encouraged because it did not start great early, but he looked spectacular in moments, in some small moments last night for the game. So I am encouraged by Deontay Johnson. Just passing along that Eric Ebron, 2 targets, 1 catch, 18 yards. I hope Eric Ebron didn't start himself.
No, yeah, that would be tough. He tweeted out the fact that he plays fantasy and that he thought he should be drafted well ahead of pretty much every other tight end. But I would just like to say, Secret Squirrel, how happy are you? Because
Don't do this. Hang on. No, come on. This is an important question.
If after the weekend where DeAndre Swift dropped a pass that could have won the game for you guys against a division rival that you guys hate.
Yeah.
What would it have done to you and other Lions fans if you saw Eric Ebron catch a touchdown? For people that are just listening to this, Daniel has pushed himself away from the microphone.
Disappeared from the screen.
He's comatose now. Yeah. And a very prone
position. I'm really sorry, Daniel. Let's move forward to the Giants. How about that?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm congratulating Daniel because that would have just been the ultimate dagger, and that didn't happen.
It would have been.
Could you imagine if Eric Ebron had caught a game-winning touchdown for the Steelers?
I don't live my life imagining such things happening to Daniel Dopp because I love him.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, Daniel.
The only thing that would have made it worse is if we had like video of Aaron Donald just like manhandling three people right in a row.
Oh.
Knowing we could have had him.
I'm going to check a tape for that. No, wait. Is it all over Twitter? Yeah. Oh, crap. All right, over Twitter. My bad.
Knowing that you guys could have had him instead of...
Let's move forward. Pain.
Super weird. Because I was just the thing. I enjoy thinking of things that cause pain for Daniel Dopp.
You are a sick and twisted individual.
That's factually correct.
Let's talk
That's
ride or die.
Fantasy like, show.
Welcome to the show. have we just met?
Let's talk ride or die. Daniel Jones.
Wait, before we can move on, I have one last thing. I'm sorry. Very quickly.
Yeah.
One last thing.
That was a sincere apology.
He actually didn't mean I could tell.
You just got massive side eye from fear.
That was so good. Go ahead. What do you got?
My life is lived massive side eye between massive side eye. That's where I go. I go between massive side eye. But I just wanted to say, it is one catch. It won't show up on the box score. But just if I was in a deep dynasty league, if I was in a deeper league,
is this a
Chase
tight end?
Claypool.
Okay.
I think is going to be special in this league.
Right.
I don't know that it's going to happen anytime soon because they have a lot of depth at that position. But I'm just saying, like, anyway, that's a name that needs to be on your radar if it wasn't already.
All right, let's talk ride or die.
Yes, we can. Now we can.
Daniel Jones, 279 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, plus 22 rushing yards, good for 17.4 fantasy points. And part of the reason why we all love Twitter is that it's like watching a game at a sports bar with a bunch of your friends. And in this case, we don't really have sports bars because you can't go to bars in most states in this country right now.
Friends in quotes, of course.
Well, whatever. Associates. People that are in the same place that you are. How about that?
It's like being in a sports bar. Like, you've got a couple of people that you're like, oh, this is my group. This is cool. And then there's some loud jerk in the corner. And you're like, can you keep it down over there?
Right. Well, that's why I muted you a while ago. It was great. One of the best decisions I've made in a while on social media. But Daniel Jones, the Giants are just orchestrating this unbelievable drive. 19 plays. They're about to walk in for a touchdown. And at the time, take the lead, right? And I'm like, geez. Yeah. Or maybe it would have been 19. I think it was 19-10 at the time. So anyways, very promising drive. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Draft Twitter's going to lose its mind. You know who else is going to lose its mind? The fantasy community like Matthew Berry that pushed Daniel Jones as a ride or die this preseason. And then Daniel Jones has an inexcusable, just made-for-Twitter interception. But Matthew?
Yes, sir.
I think most people are focusing in on that one play last night. I'm not. I'm focused, because we're talking fantasy football here. I was actually really encouraged from Danny Dimes. And
there
here's the reason
Thank
why.
Thank you very much. Fantasy ride or die.
There may not be a worse matchup. Or there are going to be like maybe two more matchups that are as bad for Daniel Jones as what we saw last night. The Steelers might be the best defense in football this year. I mean, their front four, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wait, they have Stephon Tuitt and Cam Hayward and Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt and Deion Bush. I mean, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
They are absurd. Devin Bush. They are so ridiculously loaded up front, and that's part of what happened with Saquon. And Daniel Jones got 17.5 fantasy points.
Yeah.
This is a great night for those that were all aboard the Daniel Jones hype trade, I thought.
Thank you. And I agree with you. I mean, look, here's the thing. I feel like the game plan for the Giants wasn't particularly great. I feel like they should have kept more guys in to block. I just think they were unprepared for how blitzing Pittsburgh was. And
well,
by
they
the
got
way,
there.
Huh?
They got there on that 19-play drive. It was all basically all three tight ends,
exactly.
And it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so my point is like, I feel like they could have helped Daniel Jones out a little bit. Also, remember, he didn't have Golden Tate last night, so he didn't have a full complement of weapons. But again, more mobile than he gets credit for, which he was. And 18 of the 19 plays of that drive, he was brilliant. Like, I mean, they drove all the way down the field. He was great. And then, yes, an inexcusable play. And by the way, they recovered the punt early, and they were in close, and they weren't able to get a touchdown there. So there were some opportunities where it could have been a much bigger day for Daniel Jones. But in his first game of year two against one of, if not the best defense in the NFL, and he got to 17 points, like 17.4 points. He finishes his QB 19 for the week, which you're like, okay, whatever. But the fact is I agree with you. I think if you drafted Daniel Jones as your starter this year, I think many much better days are ahead, and this is why I felt like fantasy ride or die. There's going to be a lot of junk time for this team. They're going to be able to put up points. He's going to get you some rushing yards with his legs. And in terms of what he cost at ADP, he was going as QB 15 or later in drafts.
So Saquon Barkley.
So that was my argument.
The defense was spectacular last night for the Steelers. And it mattered for Daniel Jones, but it really mattered for Saquon Barkley. And as somebody who had the third pick in the War Room League draft and used that third pick on Saquon Barkley.
How you feeling?
Fine.
There you go.
Totally fine. Yeah. And listen, 15 carries for 6 yards. But how about this? 15 carries. Saquon Barkley had -3 yards before first contact last night in total. Yeah. -3 yards. And if there was a teeny tiny criticism of Saquon Barkley's game that you could ever conjure up, one of the things that was talked about during his first two seasons was that he had a little bit of a desire to try to hit the home run too frequently. Rather than taking 5 yards and moving the chains or setting up second and short, Saquon Barkley was thinking, this could go for 5 or it could go for 50. But in trying to go for 50, it turned into a 1 yard gain. I thought last night was and Kirk Herbstreit references on the broadcast, Saquon Barkley was taking what was given for him last night. And the problem was the Giants offensive line had no answer for the Steelers defensive line. Now, before people say, well, if he has a terrible offensive line, isn't this going to be bad week after week after week? Week one overreactions that I'm buying is that, again, I think the Steelers front seven might be the best in football this year. That's how good it is. That's how dominant they are.
Steelers or Washington.
I mean, Washington's, I mean, you joke, but they're one of the best
right
front sevens.
They are. Washington's defensive line is legit.
So, like, we'll talk about Melvin Gordon a bit, but they play the Steelers this week. I'm super nervous. So, I am confident in Saquon Barkley and the overall work share last night. The one screen pass he had for long distance was ridiculous. He hurdled on two separate occasions. Yeah. He looked great. He looked spry. He looked athletic. This was a guy, he had nowhere to run.
That's right.
Much better days are ahead for Saquon Barkley. Not worried there. Let's get into the
co-manager of the Irish Twins, Matt Harrington, gets in my ear and tells me that he wanted CEH at 3, but you said no, that you knocked him.
Weirdly,
you wanted Kamara or CEH, and he said you pushed for Barkley.
So here's the thing. It's if you're going to lie to the audience,
wow,
you've got to do so with right information. Because,
wow,
as you know,
actually,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
That's not true. Past year has taught us anything.
Right.
You actually don't have to lie with correct information at all.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was gone at pick 1. This is the
right.
War Room League.
Riddick.
So
yeah,
good attempt.
Fair.
Good attempt
that's
to try to.
Correct.
Look at this. He's trying to divide. He's trying to divide the team.
I heard you wanted Derrick Henry.
No, yeah, here.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay, anyways. So anyway.
But that you do not have.
No, but I'm encouraged, by the way. I'm encouraged from what we saw last night. I swear, I really am incurred. I thought Saquon, when he had space to work with, looked explosive. All right, let's talk about the wide receivers. Matthew Sterling Shepard, 6 catches on 6 targets for 47 yards. But the story was really Darius Slayton. He had 9 targets for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. How about this? This is incredible. Since week 5 of last year, so not quite a full season, but what, 13 weeks, 12 weeks? He has more receiving touchdowns than anybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now, the question is not, hey, is he a must start every week? It's, until Golden Tate returns, I think, is Darius Slayton like a top 30 option? Was the volume enough last night for you to believe it can persist? Because if this is real, Matthew, then you know he's got a couple of really important skills that could translate to fantasy goodness for a while.
Darius Slayton is one of those players that drives me crazy and drives anyone that has to do rankings crazy. But mm-hmm. I have to tell you, because when he hits big. He's awesome, right? Thirsty Kyle has a stat. Since the beginning of 2019, he's the only player in the NFL with four different multi-touchdown games. Think about that. Four different multi-touchdown games. He's the only one in the NFL when you think about all the great wide receivers in the league. Having said that, but then he also disappears, right? And if we're here a week from today and we're talking about the Giants game or next Monday and we're talking about how Evan Ingram had 8 for 80 and a touchdown and Sterling Shepard had one and Barkley got in twice and Darius Slayton was 3 for 35, is anyone shocked at that?
No.
No,
not at all.
That's the point. Like, he's a big play guy. He's unbelievably talented. I think he was a fifth round pick. I mean, so the Giants got themselves a gem in Darius Slayton just from a pure NFL standpoint. But in terms of consistent fantasy production, I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet. I will certainly have him ranked higher next week than I did this week, coming in this week.
Yeah.
Secret Squirrel used him against me in our Dynasty League.
I did.
And just stomped me like a grape, crushed me like a grape. It was brutal. Like, you just squished me. He, like, every obscure guy that went off was on Daniel's Dynasty team.
Well, of course, because he was playing against you. That's how the world works.
So anyway, I guess my point is, am I buying Darius Slayton as a consistent, must-start, no-brainer, set-and-forget-it fantasy starter? I am not.
Yeah.
But certainly very encouraging, and there's clearly a connection between him and Daniel Jones. But for this upcoming week, too, I will still have Sterling Shepard as my number one ranked Giants wide receiver.
Didn't love to see just two catches, but seven targets for Evan Ingram. The volume's going to be in his favor. Better matchup and better days are ahead. Before we get to the second game of Monday Night Football, a couple of words, and that begins with me, because the rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got to the league. Now, it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in new backyard football-inspired mode. The Yard! Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21. Available now.
You know, when it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants and difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, game two, Monday Night Football, was the Titans going to Denver and winning this game. I mean, it was much closer than it needed to be. We don't have to get in too much into Steven.
Did they win the game or did they not lose it?
I think they won it. I mean, Steven Gostkowski missed 4 separate kicks, 3 field goals plus 1 extra point. You feel for a guy who obviously was hurt last year, so you wonder how much of that lingers. But we'll talk about the players that I think are more fantasy relevant, Matthew, and just sort of go in sequence here. Solid night for Ryan Tannehill, 14 rushing yards, but more importantly, 249 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 19.4 fantasy points. I think it sort of validated the idea that if you play in a deeper league or you were super patient at quarterback and others were, you know, either drafting two quarterbacks or, two quarterbacks in a one quarterback league, you might be fine with Ryan Tannehill as your weekly starter.
Yeah, what was encouraging to me was 43 pass attempts. Understand that, like, I think the knock on Ryan Tannehill, who from the time he took over until last year was a top 5 fantasy quarterback. And they're like, he was way too efficient. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be such a run-heavy offense in Tennessee. Well, Derrick Henry still got 31 carries.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, it's not like Derrick Henry. It's just like they suddenly went away from their game script. Like, Derrick Henry was still the guy, 31 carries, but yet 43 pass attempts for Ryan Tannehill. Corey Davis, there was a Corey Davis sighting here. Jonnu Smith got involved. Obviously, A.J. Brown. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, okay, maybe last year wasn't a fluke. And to me, that's the biggest takeaway from Tannehill's performance is, like, I don't know that we're expecting the top five guy that we had last year from Tannehill, but 100% is he a very much a viable 2QB league guy? He is a deep league guy, a bye week fill-in, and a borderline top 12 guy, 100%. I think you'll be able to count on Ryan Tannehill. I think it was exciting to see just their offense move the ball against a good defense.
And yesterday we talked about how Mike Vrabel wore a mask that said, please give the football to Derrick Henry. They did that plenty. 34 total touches. I believe that was first or second, maybe trailing only Josh Jacobs for week one. He was a workhorse as well. A.J. Brown, 5 for 39 on 8 targets. You know, he has a little bit of variance with him, but the 8 targets is a number that I'm concerned with because he didn't have that kind of consistent volume early in the season. But let's get to what I think is actually interesting.
So you have no panic on A.J. Brown because A.J. Brown was very big play dependent last year.
Right. Well,
I agree with you. I agree with you.
8 targets, 1 game, that's what I'm worried about.
I'm just saying that for the benefit of fantasy Twitter because there were a lot of people out there that were, you know, as you can imagine, panicking.
Okay, so let's talk about an interesting comparison that you drew, which is that Corey Davis came into the season, the fourth of his five in the NFL, of his five in the rookie contract. Actually, he had his fifth-year option declined. So this is his fourth NFL season. We've been waiting for it. Former fourth, fifth overall pick in the draft out of Western Michigan. 7 catches for 101 yards. One of my favorite go-to lines about Corey Davis in the past was that he's good quarterback play away from being a star. And then last year, when his quarterback play was really good, he still was not a star. But talk about a star for Corey Davis. Is it real or is it not real?
I think it might be. Well, and the comparison that I made, as I said, so here's a guy that came out of college and everyone loved him, right? He was, to your point, a top 10 overall NFL pick. And no one was just like, really? Corey Davis? Like, Corey Davis was beloved by draft Twitter, by the draft community, by Todd and Mel and all the guys that do that, right? So he comes in with a lot of fanfare. Hurts his hamstring, misses like the first half of the season in Tennessee. There's quarterback changes. There's inconsistent quarterback play from Mariota. He's dealt with these soft tissue injuries throughout his career. And so you're just like, and here's a guy that, by the way, in terms of fantasy Twitter, that we've been like, oh, this is the Corey Davis year. Like, we know the talent. He's going to get a massive target share. This is the year. This is the year. And so finally this year, in his fourth NFL season, everyone in fantasy football is like, Corey Davis is dead to us. It's all about A.J. Brown. We like Jonnu Smith as a sleeper. You know, it's going to be the Derrick Henry show, blah, 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 blah. No Corey Davis. And then suddenly he blows up. And it sounds a lot like Devontae Parker last year, who everyone had as a sleeper and loved coming out of college. And he did nothing. And finally last year, when everyone bailed on him, he blew up. Could he be this year's Devontae Parker? And I kind of think, yeah. Look, it's one game, obviously, but I was encouraged by the 9 targets. Obviously the 7 for 101 looked good, but just more importantly to the eye test, you were like, oh yeah, that's the guy we all loved coming out of Western Michigan. That's the guy that we've seen flashes of. That's the guy that caught 2 passes in the playoffs, right? 2 touchdowns in the playoffs against the Patriots. Like, that's that guy. Like, and so if their offense is going to be a little bit more open under Ryan Tannehill in its first full season with Tannehill as the guy, you know, they still have a narrow target tree, right? It's still like A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Jonnu Smith. Like, it's really those three guys, all due respect to Adam Humphries. So, yes, I do think, I don't know if he made your waiver wire column, but I think he should have.
I think one more week, and I'm ready to get there, because we have seen these flashes from Corey Davis before.
We have.
So I'm going to give it one more week before I start to dive in on really buying into the hype here for Corey Davis.
Fair enough, but that's my I think he could be this year's Devontae Parker.
Nice call right there by
we'll
you.
See what
now
happens.
I'm questioning whether it was Western or Central Michigan, but that's neither here nor there.
It was Western Michigan.
Same where
Western
same,
Michigan?
Yeah,
I was accurate there. Good. Anyways, let's
Daniel Dopp, our official Michigan correspondent for all things Michigan.
Good job by you, Daniel.
Close is Western Michigan, the campus of Western Michigan, to Ford Field?
Probably about an hour and a half, give or take.
About an hour and a half away from the place where the Detroit Lions, who lost on a dropped touchdown pass.
You are sick. You are sick.
Yeah.
Let's move forward. Let's talk about the Broncos.
Just
we don't have a lot of
audience.
Time left in the show.
That's
let's
fair.
Move forward okay. to it. The Broncos. And Drew Locke was whatever. He was fine. I thought he was okay. I didn't think Drew Locke was special last night. 22 of 33, 216 passing yards, a touchdown and 5 rushing yards, just 13.1 fantasy points. But the stuff that really matters are the running backs and the wide receivers. And let's start with a health update on Philip Lindsay-Stefania. He leaves this game. It sounds like a toe issue.
Yeah, turf toe. So basically a sprain in the big toe right at the base where the ball of the foot is. And it really depends on how severe this is, how you can project it forward. Mild cases, you can come back. Sometimes guys can play the next week. Severe cases, the worst case scenario is surgery. Doesn't sound like it's anywhere in the picture for him. Bottom line, we have to see how he feels. This is one injury that can be problematic, though, as guys return to play, because all your body weight has to push off through that big toe. So it's really tough to allow it to fully heal while you're still playing.
Yeah, and the early intel seems to be that week two could be a major question mark for Philip Lindsay, Matthew. So Melvin Gordon got the first three running back carries last night. He had 15 in total. He found the end zone. He did fumble as well. Are we convinced?
It was a Melvin Gordon game.
No, but so like, is your takeaway prior to the injury and then factoring the injury in that like, okay, he's the guy, he being Melvin Gordon in this backfield, or did Philip Lindsay's pre-injury usage suggest that maybe this will be more 55-45 or 60-40?
Yeah, I mean, I was about to, as you were talking, I'm like, I think it's like 65-35.
Okay.
Which is where I would have put it.
But that's probably good enough for Melvin Gordon to return value.
Sure. I had Melvin Gordon as a lower end RB2, and that's what I think he's going to be. I think he vaults up now if Lindsay's going to be out for this game. I'm not really worried about Royce Freeman or anyone else that they might throw out there. Like, it'll be the Melvin Gordon show. And look, I thought the Broncos offense, look, the Titans are a good defense. I thought the Broncos offense moved the ball better than I thought, especially when you think about the fact Cortland Sutton wasn't in this game. I thought it was a decent performance from the Broncos offense. And I think it's unfair to judge them without Cortland Sutton out there.
Yeah, and Stefania, along those lines, what do we know about Cortland Sutton? He did not play last night, as Matthew just mentioned. We know what the issue is. It's a shoulder injury. Is there a chance he could be back in week two against the Steelers?
There's a chance. I mean, specifically, he had an AC joint sprain. So the thing we talked about going into Monday night was, would he be able to lift his arm up overhead, which he would need to do to make difficult catches? And although we heard that he was close, that's what Vic Fangio said, we never saw him raise his arm overhead. And one day he was out of practice that we saw, he was not doing that. So I'd like to hear a little more during the practice week about him being able to do those things and make catches to feel confident. But it sounds like they at least anticipate that he could be available in week two.
Okay. They play the Steelers, so I just mentioned. That game is in Pittsburgh. Matthew, last night, probably a good opportunity for Jerry Jeudy just because of the fact that Sutton was not out there. And I thought that, all things considered, actually a relatively rosy outlook for Jerry Jeudy after just 1 week. 8 targets, which is 25% target share. He only caught 4 of them, but 56 yards. And, you know, the talent's really fun.
He's a good player. He's now, will that translate into consistent fantasy production? Hard to say, and I can't imagine starting him against the Steelers next week. Having said that, like, yeah, there's a reason why Jerry Jeudy was drafted as high as he was, why a lot of people thought he was the best wide receiver coming out this year in a wide receiver class that was as loaded as we've ever seen.
Right. He was phenomenal in college, and I thought the early returns were pretty solid for both he and Henry Ruggs, who found the end zone for the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm just going to mention that we did see a great night from Noah Fant, 5 for 81 with the touchdown, 19.1 fantasy points. What an athlete he is. Special.
He is fantastic.
Oh, wow. Nice. You just did that. You did it on Twitter, and it...
God bless.
Did you think it stuck on Twitter?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
That's why I did it again twice. I would have.
That's fine. Look, you know what? Some of these are for me. Oh. Some of these are for me.
Gotcha.
All right. Like, they're not all for you, America. Some of them are for me, and that one's for me. He was fantastic.
Okay. Well done by you. All right, Daniel.
Thank you very much. And it was a good game for both young tight ends, by the way. We didn't mention Jonnu Smith, really, when we were talking about the Titans, but I thought both guys were terrific. Noah Fant was on my preseason love list. He was a lot of people liked him as well. I certainly wasn't alone on Noah Fant breakout island. Early returns are like, yep, that's the guy we love. And so very exciting. And especially once they get Sutton back, I think full steam ahead. Is Fant rostered in 100% of leagues? I would assume
it's like 83 or something. It was pretty high.
If somehow he's out there, you know what I mean? Like, totally legit.
Yeah. Speaking of the waiver wire, Field, I want to talk to you specifically because Malcolm Brown feels like a guy that's probably going to be at the top of that list. We've had a number of trade questions. Smart trade decisions is informed by IBM Watson. If you go into your ESPN fantasy app, you can look at a bunch of different trades that IBM Watson is suggesting for you. And here's one that we think fits really well. We had a tweet from Merce Billy. It says, I have Zeke and Malcolm Brown. Is it worth it to trade Brown for Tony Pollard?
Yeah, so the interesting concept here is basically, hey, I have Zeke and if I have Tony Pollard, I basically own the I have the Cowboys backfield, and I have no concerns no matter what happens to Zeke. If he gets injured, you're in a good spot. Right now, though, you have two fantasy usable lineups, a fantasy usable running back. So I personally would be avoiding this trade and saying, you know what? What are the chances? Like, so if Zeke doesn't miss any time and he's never missed a game due to injury in his career, then you just wasted a roster spot on a player that has zero value to you weekly. So I personally would be leaning towards keeping Malcolm Brown, especially after what we saw in week one. But I understand the concept, right? It's a roster construction standpoint. And let's say that you used a late round pick on Malcolm Brown and you have Zeke and I'm not saying you have Zeke and Alvin Kamara, but maybe you have Zeke and Melvin Gordon and it's a two running back league.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you do see some value there, but I personally will be holding on to Malcolm Brown. He is my number one waiver wire ad of the week. He had 26 fantasy points on 79 rushing yards with two touchdowns plus three catches for 31 yards. Matthew, we talked about this backfield yesterday and just the idea that even though he only had four more carries than Cam Akers, he got the carries that mattered, and he looked like the go-to guy right now coming out of the gates for the Rams.
Yeah, he did. Now, Sean McVay in his post-game press conference still talked up Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson and just saying, like, you know, hey, this was Malcolm's game. He got going. I'm paraphrasing here. You know, he was saying, like, hey, we're going to use all guys throughout the year. And
got to keep guys engaged, though,
gotta
right? Keep you got to keep people engaged.
Got to keep guys engaged. And Sean McVay is very much a player's coach, like, you know, very much into that. But I agree with you. Look, I don't know why, if you're Sean McVay, you're going away from Malcolm Brown. Now, I don't know that he has the strongest hold on this job. That,
right.
You know, like, I think he's still got a short leash. But for the moment, Malcolm Brown is the starting running back of the Los Angeles Rams, and that is very, very fantasy relevant. And
totally.
So given the potential of that offense and what we expect to be a clear-cut role, I mean, you'll see some Akers, you'll see some Henderson. But to your point, the carries that matter, when they get in close, Malcolm Brown's going to get the goal line rushes. He's going to be the guy that probably scores the most touchdowns on this Rams offense of the running backs. Yeah, to me, he's the clear-cut number one waiver wire pickup this week.
Basically, every running back waiver wire ad that you're looking at this week is the potential for a role. Malcolm Brown already has it. Now, he could lose it. Don't make any mistakes about that. But for now, he carries the most value. Let's move forward here, Matthew, and I hand the baton over to you to be the host of the show. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Field Yates is the author of the waiver wire, the free agent finds column.
That works, yeah.
ESPN.com, free agent finds, waiver wire column. Call it what you will. It's up on ESPN.com right now. It's also in the ESPN Fantasy app. I am a company man. All right, Field Yates. So Malcolm Brown is your number one at running back two, or your number two overall pick is a running back.
Right.
And it's somebody we referenced earlier in the show?
Well, Benny Snell would be the number two name that I would consider adding, as well as Nyheim Hines, who you were thinking of right now. For the Indianapolis Colts, I think there's a healthy debate there between those two players. And I want to make one thing clear. People,
so who would you pick between those two? If Malcolm Brown's, pretend Malcolm Brown is rostered in your league.
Yeah.
So Hines and Benny Snell are both available, and you've got the number one waiver pick. Who are you taking?
It's very, very, very close, but I would go with Benny Snell.
Okay.
Very close, because I think that there's a chance that Jonathan Taylor becomes the workhorse in Indianapolis and Nyheim Hines is not reduced to something, but is more sort of form-fitting in his return man, some passing game value, and obviously got some important carries this past week, but I would choose Benny Snell. There's probably a pretty good case, though, for Nyheim Hines, because maybe the concern over Benny Snell is that, hey, James Conner gets healthy again, James takes off. But let's talk about Nyheim Hines, because he was great in week one. And this is a player that, since he came out of North Carolina State, people have had very high hopes for, even before he got into the NFL. He was this running back who had some elements, and he's not Darren Sproles, but he had some elements of Darren Sproles and being so good with the football in his hands, playing much bigger than his frame. He also had six red zone touches in week one. He scored those two touchdowns. We think Jonathan Taylor is the man, and maybe if they sign Lamar Miller or somebody else, the outlook is dampened a little bit. But Nyheim Hines, a running back that should be added in all leagues.
You think about Philip Rivers and what he used to do among the Chargers as well. He likes a veteran back there that knows pass protection. I think Hines will have more red zone work than people might expect. Jonathan Taylor's the guy you want, but yes, no doubt, Hines will have value in PPR leagues throughout the rest of the season. Joshua Kelly, the backup to Austin Eckler, and guy who got some important touches as well, also makes your list. Let's move to the waiver, the wide receiver position, I should say. and we're staying in Indianapolis.
That's right. Paris Campbell, Mike Clay suggested him prior to week one on Fantasy Football Now. Check out Mike every Sunday with us discussing wide receiver cornerback matchups, and 6 catches on 9 targets for Paris Campbell for 71 yards. He had 1 rush, which I think we'll see a decent amount of rushing for Paris Campbell this season. It was kind of how he was used at Ohio State. He also had 3 deep targets. An exciting player, a guy that's going to be needed in Indy this year, especially as they deal with the injury of Marlon Mack.
Yeah, he was a late-round flyer for me coming into the season, along with Anthony Miller, another guy that should be on your radar as well. Let's move to tight ends now, Field. And if you just lost Blake Jarwin, you might be looking for somebody.
Yeah, you might be. And Dallas Goedert's available in nearly 75% of leagues. We talked about him at length yesterday. The Eagles can actually rely upon 2 tight ends. It doesn't mean that Dallas Goedert is being picked up because Zach Ertz is struggling. It's because they can run their offense through these 2 tight ends. Check out Sal Palantonio every Sunday morning, often from wherever the Eagles are playing, because he's got great intel there. And he described to us on Sunday just how much the Eagles think of this player, Dallas Goedert. He had 8 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown on Sunday, a guy that I think will be a weekly top 10 option at the position.
He was top 10 in total points at the tight end position last year. Certainly full steam ahead for Dallas Goedert. And finally, let's go to the quarterback position, Field. A player that you're very familiar with.
That's right. Minshew Mania has probably the best mustache in all of the NFL. He, too, has no idea who Matthew Berry is, which makes him arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. He had 19 of 20 completions on Sunday. 19 for 20. The guy was ridiculous. He had 3 touchdowns. And I don't think too many people are actually searching for quarterbacks after what we saw this past week, Matthew, because for the most part, quarterbacks held up their end of the bargain. There was nobody that was so awful that you're saying to yourself, like, how could you guys have possibly recommended me Cam Newton? No, he was awesome. Kyler Murray, great. Lamar Jackson, amazing. Patrick, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. I don't think many are shopping for a quarterback right now, but if for some reason you're the kind of person that likes to have insurance on your roster, Gardner Minshew is a name to keep in mind, as is Joe Burrow. I sort of just wanted to include a couple of quarterback options for those that for one reason or another are discouraged by that position
on
their roster.
The thing is, by the way, if you're in a deep active league and some of the guys we've mentioned have been taken already, Minshew's not a bad guy to grab, even if you don't need him. Because at some point, somebody in your league may need a quarterback. And so, again, like we saw it last year where people had, you know, they had Dak, but Lamar Jackson blew up and they grabbed him. It never hurts to have good players on your bench. You can always trade them. You don't always have to start everyone. So,
I feel that way about Dallas Goedert right now. Even if you're Travis Kelce or George Kittle, like, go out and grab him, man. Sure. That guy's just a playmaker.
And by the way, George Kittle's no sure thing for Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Do we have a trivia question for
you
today?
You bet we do. The Geico trivia question of the day. Oh, man.
We got an updated one or no?
We didn't plan on this because Stefania is in the bunker. I don't think she has anything to write on.
Okay.
Stefania, you can just use your words here. Here we go. First question is, who led the NFL with 4 red zone targets in week one?
Who led the NFL
with four red zone targets? Yep.
I think I'm on some sort of streak right now, by the way. I think I've hit like back-to-back-to-back trivia.
Wow.
Maybe just back-to-back. Stefania, you have first opportunity.
It's weird. When you say it, Field, that doesn't sound like bragging, but whenever... Well, never mind. Go ahead, Stefania.
No, I want to go last. I want to shake it up now that I'm...
But how do we know? But, okay, yeah, all right. Well, okay. Then you go first, Matthew. You offer your guess.
It hasn't written it down. I have Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams.
It's A-D-A-M-S. That's how you spell Adams.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
I'm doing it quickly because we're under time constraints.
I'm going with Mark Andrews.
Stefania,
you have last. What if you were going to guess the same person that we were going to guess, Stefania?
Well, that's what I was hoping, but I'm not. I was going to guess Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley, Stefania, each of those players had 2 receiving touchdowns. The answer is Daniel.
I have no idea. Kyle's typing it to me in our text right now.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Stop
go
it.
Figure,
wow.
Kyle.
Stop it.
You are such a little...
How
you are a prankster. He
How
is very good at these trivia
Sanders.
Questions.
Let me ask you guys a question. Good. Can we close out the show? I want to bring something to your attention. Okay? We can address this tomorrow, too, if we want with our rankings. But Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn made a comment about Austin Eckler in that offense, talking about how they may not pass as much as they were potentially had last year. Is that going to change anything with the way that you guys look at Austin Eckler at all this year?
Matthew, I think you should weigh in only because you were talking about this passionately yesterday on the show.
No, it won't. If he sees a decrease in receptions, fine, but he's going to see an uptick in volume. Like, he had 19 carries on Sunday. Like, he did. Again, I don't know that he ever had 19 carries in a game, except maybe the, you know, maybe the first couple last year before Melvin Gordon came back. Like, I am not worried about the idea that they're not going to use Austin Ekeler in the passing game. They're going to use him in the passing game. And I think the overall volume, assuming health, that when we look at this at the end of the year, Austin Eckler's total volume will be similar. And so I understand in PPR leagues, maybe you knock him a spot or two. But yeah, ultimately, I am more in than out on Austin Ekeler.
I tell you what, though, if the volume is similar, but it's a way more carries than catches compared to last year, that to me is super legit. Yeah. Super legitimate. So right.
But I don't think Anthony Lynn is an idiot. And the idea that you would take one of the best pass catching running backs in the NFL and say, you know what we need to do? Throw him the ball less.
But it's I don't think it's totally on him. I think it's on the skill of the quarterback. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is not going to be throwing as much.
Well, there's a lot more to this conversation. We have to table it for another day. We've got much more on Austin Ekeler plus Matthew Berry's latest fashion tips on Wednesday's podcast. Some are calling it the most anticipated show in the history of the Fantasy Focus. Stefania, great to have you back in studio on vacation. Daniel, Matthew, on field. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Peace out!
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.